When I look at the wide array of musical options descending on Salt Lake City and Utah this week, I start to have flashbacks. Thankfully, they're the kind of flashbacks that elicit pleasant memories, not the kind that make me want to shrivel into a ball in a closet waiting for them to stop. Foremost among the retro treats for me is the arrival of country legend Merle Haggard. When you start talking about the Mount Rushmore of classic country songwriters, the man known to fans as the poet of the common man certainly warrants consideration alongside the likes of Willie Nelson, Hank Williams, or Johnny Cash. Haggard helped establish what came to be known as the Bakersfield sound, and he wrote no less than 28 number one hits. He grew up dirt poor and spent some time in prison before he started focusing on music, and his rough and tumble background has always informed Haggard's songs. In the past decade or so, Haggard has established himself as one of country's most beloved elder statesmen, delivering strong live shows and a series of albums that showcase a rootsy country sound seldom heard anymore on commercial radio, including If You've Got the Money, I've Got the Time.
There ain't no use to tarry, so let's start out tonight. We'll spread joy, oh boy, and we'll spread it right. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line. You got the money, honey, I've got the time.
Merle Haggard headlines at Kingsbury Hall on the University of Utah campus on Tuesday, June 24th. Visit kingsburyhall.org for tickets and information. And he is far from the only golden oldie performing in Utah this week. There's a surprising number of artists from bygone days playing around town. Tonight, hip-hop elder Coolio headlines at the Urban Lounge. On Monday, classic rock fans will rejoice over the double bill at USANA Amphitheater in West Valley City, as 70s glam rockers Kiss and 80s-era hard rock heroes Def Leppard both perform. On Tuesday, R&B singer Natalie Cole headlines a show at Red Butte Garden. On Wednesday, goth rock pioneer Peter Murphy headlines The Depot. And on Friday, Righteous Brother Bill Medley performs at the Egyptian Theater in Park City. For KUER's Books and Beats, I'm Dan Manning.
I'm Betsy Burton for Books and Beats. Never has Las Vegas been portrayed with more intensity or more realism than in We Are Called to Rise. Laura McBride's debut novel is composed of a chorus of disparate voices, the first of which belongs to Avis, the daughter of a stripper and now a respected member of suburban Las Vegas. Avis is married and the mother of a grown son who's recently returned from serving three tours of duty in Afghanistan. She's found safe harbor in suburbia, a world apart from the casinos where she came of age. But as the novel opens, her husband leaves her, upending that safe world. The next voice is that of Bashkin, a third grader from Albania whose family lives in dire poverty. Bashkin, as a part of a class project, writes a letter to a hospitalized vet from Vegas. Luis, now in Afghanistan recovering from a self-inflicted wound, writes back a brutal reply. The final voice belongs to Roberta, a social worker privy to a Las Vegas few understand. Her job is to look out for children such as Bashkin, for traumatized vets like Luis. She ends up in close contact with both. As we listen to Avis ruminate about her past, we watch the pieces of her life slip out of joint. And we watch Bashkin trying valiantly to fit into his class and his school during the day, trying even more valiantly to understand and survive the violence at home. While far away in Afghanistan, Luis slowly wakens to a world he doesn't believe he can survive. All of this might sound dark, but a novel is as dark as its voices, and these voices, filled with hope and a will to survive, serve as counterpoint to the realities of war and of poverty. Las Vegas is, like our own city, schizophrenic. In both, there are the saints, the sinners, and a whole nether population not concerned with either, though so down and out that churches and casinos are hardly a factor. This is the world McBride captures, a place in which one has to find strength inside to survive. The good news is it can happen. People do survive. People matter, just as do those in the pages of this extraordinary first novel.